and welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Stark.
Good to be back.
It is great to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had a little confusion earlier. I'm actually due to go on vacation next week. You thought it was this week.
So. I did. I got it mixed up.
Yeah.
I thought I was ready. So I was getting together just a best of something, you know, from the past to cover since you were going to be out. Mm-hmm. And I got that all done, and I thought I was on it.
And you were. Hey, and you were. And it was just, and you know what? You're just preparing for the further
for the future. I just took that one. I'm like, all right, let's change the dates on that.
There you go.
But I got all that done. And like, you know, so obviously this is pre-recorded. We're not here on a Saturday.
No.
I mean, we just, that's how we do things.
Yeah.
And so throughout the week, so Monday I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
I was out. Mm-hmm. I was dying. And then Tuesday I was working from home because I was still kind of in the recovery phase.
Yeah,
and then I
yeah.
came in on Wednesday and I got that done. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm getting things done.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then I said something to somebody else. I'm like, yeah, and I got to get this in because Jordan's not here this week. And they're like, I saw him going for his like break walk just a minute ago.
Yeah.
Unless that is the ghost of Jordan.
You never know.
I don't think
a doppelganger out there.
Yeah, I was like, he's got an evil twin. No, and then I came and talked to you, and I'm like, man, I thought that was this week, and you're like, no, next week.
We
so
good. Yeah.
But luckily,
mm-hmm.
you are always since you're a writer,
mm-hmm.
and you're constantly putting out content.
Yes, constantly.
You have an article that you recently wrote that mm-hmm. went on the Stan blog, or was it in the magazine? Or
it was this is a Stan blog original,
so it's a fresh brand new thing. So you go to afa.net/thestan, you can read this article titled what's it titled?
It's I don't remember the exact title because Ray Rooney titles the blogs
Honor Parents Even in Difficult Relationships.
Right.
So we're gonna kind of talk about that, and I'm gonna say the title because I would love for people to be able to go and read the original article and you know what it's like, read it how you wrote it, and maybe even share it.
Yeah.
There's a share link so you can share it. So go to afa.net/thestan,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find so much more there too.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of great writers there. I do think it is important to bring up that title because the article isn't about just the concept of you know, children obey your parents. And the Lord, for this is right, honor thy father and mother. It kind of goes beyond that into difficult relationships. I really wanted to hone in on that because I feel like that's where a lot of the issues come up around this particular commandment. And it is a commandment.
Yeah.
And I touch on that being like, look, this is not something that we can just ignore or brush over. We have to do something with it. Like there's a requirement here. It's important. But what does this look like in a difficult family relationship?
I actually have some thoughts because if you're a video scroller like me, whether mm-hmm. it be TikTok, Instagram Reels, Facebook, wherever it is you are, so I see a lot of these people do where they're talking about situations, and a lot of them do things like the toxic parent, toxic mother-in-law, and like how they dealt with them. And I think there's a combination, whereas we are all human.
Right.
It doesn't matter if your parents, I know my parents aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I love them, and I hope that I have been at least somewhat of a good daughter.
Right.
I'm trying.
Right.
But I read some of these stories, and I'm like, I can't believe her mama did that.
Yeah, I know.
Cut her off. But
yeah.
If you start, I guess listening to these stories, I've started trying to kind of just skip them.
Yeah.
Click not interested, so maybe I'll quit seeing that content.
Because
I think that kind of worms its way into my head. And this is not, I don't project this onto my parents because my parents, like I said, I know they're not perfect because they're human,
mm-hmm.
but they don't do that kind of, half that kind of stuff. So, but then you start getting that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I started thinking the other day, okay, but let's... This is not to say that I think you should just let your parents walk all over you.
Because
in our time of life, in our target audience,
mm-hmm.
we're adults.
Yeah.
And maybe you are now, you're in charge of yourself.
Yeah.
But those are still your parents.
Right.
And even if you disagree with them, even
mm-hmm.
if you have a difficult relationship with them...
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it before with when dealing with other people, there is a right and a wrong way to respond.
Right. Yeah, and this, it is, it's not a very simple thing either. And by the way, I do in the article, and I think here in this discussion as well, we should, like, there's kind of two sides to, or two segments, I guess, to this issue. There's obviously a minor, like a child, a young child who's still in the home versus an adult child who is out of the home under their own authority. You know, they're not like taking orders as such from their parents. Those have some, there's different applications there. And it was interesting to find out actually the verse in, I can't remember the exact reference, but when Paul reiterates honor, children, obey your parents in the Lord, the word there for obey literally means to listen attentively, which was interesting. Yeah. And it really goes into the idea of parents are ordained by God, as, you know, the guides, the teachers, primarily, the caretakers and the teachers of their children. Their children don't belong to them as property. You know, they aren't the robots that the parents can control. The children belong ultimately to God, placed under the care and guidance of the
You're just a steward
parents.
Of them.
You're a steward of them. And so Paul's instructions to...
that's Ephesians 6.
Yeah, Ephesians. In Ephesians, Paul's instructions to the children is, look, these are important people in your life. Put there by God to teach you and to take care of you, because you can't take care of yourself. Pay attention to what they have to say.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't as much translate when you become an adult, although you should still pay attention to what your parents have to say. They have way more wisdom than you. But when it comes to being a matter of authority, it does shift where when the Bible's talking about honoring your parents as a child of theirs, or as an adult child of theirs, it's more talking about this care that you give to them in turn. In fact, the New Testament also commands Christians to take care of the elderly, especially the elderly in your family, and that means your parents, when they are old enough that they can't really take care of themselves. That idea is reiterated throughout the New Testament, even in the Old Testament. This is a very important thing to God. Not that you, you know, brush away all the things that they may have done in the past that are actually wrong. Not that you pretend that, you know, they were these perfect saints and you revere them as such, but that you genuinely care for their physical well-being and you're there to care for them.
And here's the thing. We do recognize the sin nature that is there, and that not everybody who is a parent is automatically great. Some of us were very lucky. I feel like I was very lucky. I know Jordan feels he's very lucky when it comes to his raising. And so we do recognize that in there are certain situations where maybe you can't have a relationship with your parent due to something on their end. But overall, for most of us, there is that call to action to, you know, your parents raised you. Now it's your turn to take care of them kind of situation. And one day it's, you know, my parents are still, they're only in their 50s. They're still doing their thing. They both still work. My mom's, you know, they're enjoying being grandparents, not because of me.
Right.
Thanks for taking one for the team. That's for my sister. Shout out for my sister.
Right.
They're just, you know, but at some point, they're going to come to that point. And I watched them do it with their parents.
Right.
Where they have to start playing the caretaker role. And so eventually it's going to be, you know, me and my sister taking that on.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be easier for me with the raising that I had. I cannot imagine some of the ones out there that have had horrible childhoods due to their parents and then having to look at that. But I try to wrap my head around that. And I think I've probably brought this up before in dealing with certain circumstances. It's, you have to remember who you used to be.
Right.
I mean, and that God had grace for you.
Yeah.
I've not lived a perfect life. I don't, you know, I'm pretty sure if I'm reading scripture correctly, you haven't either, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
and God... Mm. God forgave me for all of that. Mm. So what is standing in the way of me forgiving the others in my life, even the ones that are the closest. Those, I think, hurt the most.
Yeah.
A stranger or somebody I don't know that well doing something against me is like, okay, I don't care about your opinion, but your parent or someone that closely related to you, that hurts to me way more.
Yeah. It certainly requires, I think, on the part of the child in the picture, humility.
Yeah.
I mean, if we are, if a child who had a bad experience with their parents growing up and their parents were, I mean, at worst abusive, at least, you know, just they were missing the mark on some things and they unintentionally caused harm in one way or another. It does require that humility and to kind of let go of our own rights in a way. If someone hurts you, humanly speaking, you have a right to disassociate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we understand that, especially in this country, in this culture, the idea of free association. If you don't want to have somebody to do with, if you don't want to have something to do with somebody, you can just not, you know. But in God's opinion, that doesn't really fly, and especially between a parent and child, God holds that relationship as a sacred thing. And so navigating that requires that humility, laying aside that right of yours to just cut someone off. And now this isn't going to look the same for everybody.
Yeah. Again, we're recognizing people's sin nature. We're also recognizing that everybody has a different situation.
Yeah.
Much different.
Exactly. So, I mean, for me, like honoring my mom and dad, we don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
I grew up, I became an adult, and I started forming my own opinions on things, and that's the way things go. My kids are going to go off and do the same thing.
But I've met your parents. They're great.
Yeah. And I've met at least your mom, and she's great too. And so, like, when we have these, you know, these parents in our lives that are, you know, even if we disagree with them on some things, you can honoring them isn't that difficult. But in other instances, there are people out there who maybe there's not been this like abusive relationship in the past or these hurts that have been piling up, but maybe it's just they disagree on some things that are really, really different.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some opinions that could not be more opposite. And those can be some hard times too, where you have a parent who feels very strongly about this particular thing, and then the child grows up and forms a very different opinion, and these opinions cannot coexist very well. Even in those situations, it's going to require that humility to be like, look, I'm going to lay that aside. You know, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to respect you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we can't do that in our own strength. We have to have the grace of God to do that.
I think my parents were pretty great.
Yeah.
You know, they had their at the worst, they had their annoying moments when my dad used to wake me up in the morning.
Hey.
As a teenager, he used to love it. It'd be 5 minutes before my alarm was going to go. I did not need help getting up.
Right.
I wasn't one of those teenagers. I could totally get up on my own.
Yeah.
5 minutes before my alarm would go off, my door would come flying open, my light would switch on, and he would start singing. And I would think to myself, and then probably say it out loud, I will not take care of you one day when it is time, you know, because I was a teenager and I was overly dramatic, but obviously that's the worst I had to deal with.
Oh man.
But I think for our target audience, we've said that it's like just graduated high school, going through college, just starting families, you know, so up till like mid-30s, that's kind of our target audience. And we've kind of reached the point where we've gone out of that like teenage mindset where, you know, your parents are trying to ruin your life. You're because they won't let you go, go spend the night with this friend.
Right.
And now that you're this age, that our target audience is, you're like, Why would a parent ever let their child spend the night with another friend when they don't know their family or anything about them? So I'm hoping we could have some, you know, like, so if you have a problem with your parents, it's not based off of small, petty, childish things like it was 10 years ago. Mm. But we've kind of moved past that. But then the situation I'm thinking of now is the situation you're in. You now have your own family unit.
Yeah.
You left but mm-hmm. you're home, mm-hmm. and now you're cleaving to your wife, and right. you have your own children
yeah.
and your own family unit. And you're real lucky when it comes to your parents and your in-laws.
Mm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That everybody is decent, godly people.
Right.
And they have they understand boundaries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're in this new family unit, what if you were in a situation when one of your parents was a problem or a danger to your children?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a whole other, dimension of this that can be really, really challenging. Thankfully, we haven't been in that kind of situation. And even in those times where, how parents have different standards for their kids. And, you know, for my family, we have this standard and this way of raising my children that are kind of different than the way I was raised and the way my wife was raised. And so sometimes a grandparent can apply that standard to your children. And you know what? You just kind of have to make that call. If it's a problem, then you can address it very yeah. respectfully. If it's not a problem, it's like, okay, fine. They won't even remember that. Like, that's not a big deal at all. But then there are times where, you know, in other families, I can imagine if your parent is either not a Christian at all or just comes from a set of beliefs that you have left and you're in a different place, then it might be time to have those, look, I can't imagine how difficult this conversation is, but mm-hmm. those setting the brand boundaries conversations where it's like you go to your parents or your in-laws, which would be, I don't know which one would be harder.
Hard.
Both. Very difficult. But you sit down with him and just say, look, with all due respect, we love you and we want to make sure that this relationship is thriving. We never want to, you know, have to distance and everything. But going forward, because I'm the one responsible immediately for my children and what they hear or what they're taught or mm-hmm. the way that they are disciplined or whatever the issue might be. To set that boundary. Boundaries are going to be important.
Very important.
In this conversation, when it comes to honoring your parents, especially as an adult child, especially in a difficult relationship, boundaries are going to be super important. And like I said earlier, honoring your parents is not going to look the same for everyone. For me, it's going to look very, very different than it is for somebody whose parents were awful to them mm-hmm. or are not Christians. There's just going to be a different set of boundaries. There's just going to be a different relationship dynamic. And that's going to require a lot of wisdom from yeah. God. It's going to require a lot of conversations maybe with your pastor and elders at your church. But it's definitely going to require searching yeah, the scriptures and praying about it.
And that is where we always encourage our listeners to get in the Word and study, to yeah. spend time talking to God. But I'm going to go ahead and put this out there as well. Make sure you are plugged in. We've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
We maybe don't have it pushed as much as telling people to study scripture.
Yeah.
But make sure you are plugged in a body of believers.
Yes.
Make sure that you are surrounding yourself with a biblical, godly church.
Mm-hmm.
Who has a trustworthy leadership and people yeah. that you can talk to.
Absolutely.
If you are, and I say, like, try to make connections with people that are in your stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
Moms, find you a mom group if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard
because yeah.
you can't leave your house as often.
Right.
Because when you do, you're dragging, like, for the sake of your wife.
This is absolutely true.
Dragging, you know, three children along. It's mm-hmm. it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Dads, find you some dads to talk to.
Yeah.
And just so you're always surrounded by people who can give sound, sage advice.
Yes.
But the other part I'm gonna of your article.
Yeah.
is I'm trying to reach over here and pull it up.
Sure.
But it's being a silly thing. Anyways, the other part of your article is you talked about not just the demands of the children.
Mm-hmm.
You did talk about that. And
yeah.
then there's your three points is you need to have humility, forgiveness, and grace.
Yeah.
And that's something that's just overall something you should apply to your life when dealing with
right.
anybody.
Right.
But and it may take a special level of that
yeah.
for parents.
Yeah.
But you also discussed the demands of parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important thing is, we're not just, you know, scripture doesn't just talk about like, as a child, you obey your parents. But it also talks about the way the parent is supposed to treat the child.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we look at this commandment that God is giving to children, you know, young children, adult children, to respect, to listen to honor their parents. And it's tempted to be like, well, you know, as a parent, I look at my child and say, well, you better measure up to this, you know.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
And
great question.
And there are so many parents that get so upset if their kids for asking that question. I really think it is your job. Like, you have not done your job if your kid does not understand the reasoning behind your decision. If you start at the beginning when they're children, kind of, and like even when they're little, there may be a special way you have to talk about it because they don't understand the big words.
Yeah.
But if you sit down and you explain to them like, hey, you're getting punished because of this and this is why, and this is why this thing is wrong.
Right.
Eventually, you'll get to the point where your kids are going to trust you enough that whenever you say something, they're not going to question it as much.
Right.
That doesn't mean they'll ever stop wondering why, but like they're not, they're going to be like, they've always given me their reasons.
Yeah.
I understand it. I may not like it, but I understand it.
Yeah.
And they're more willing to go the direction that you're pointing them.
Yeah. And I do think too, if we want to have children who honor us as parents, if we want our children to obey this commandment from God, obviously we can't make that happen.
Yeah.
But we can try to be honorable parents. Right. So one of the things that I talk about in the article, a demand that is on parents, and this is a demand from the Bible, is to be like Jesus, is to follow his example, and to not be parents who just, you know, look at this commandment as sort of like, well, this gives me permission just to, you know, demand things of my kids and to treat them as if I can control them. They are mine to control. They are mine to, you know, press into this standard. But it is also a call on us to shape our character.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be our – do we want our children to go out into the world and meet someone who is dishonorable, not respectable at all, who treats them horribly, and them to feel like, oh, well, I have to obey this person. I have to subject myself to this person.
Yeah, they have a sense of authority, so I better listen.
We don't want our children to do that, so let's not model that for our children. Let's be the kind of people that we would like for them to honor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be the kind of people that we would like for them to have a natural sense of respect. We can shape our children's expectation for what is honorable and what is respectable out in the world by being that in the home before they go out in the world. And my goodness, I mean, you see this all the time when you see kids getting married to people. You're like, how in the world did you choose this person to be your, you know, husband or wife? Like they have all of these qualities. They are actively hurting you. And well, you look at their home life when they were a child, and that was what was modeled for them. That's what they expected from the world. Obviously, that's not always the case, but there have been patterns out there, and you can break those patterns by conforming yourself through the work of the Spirit to the pattern of Christ. That's the goal for all Christians, I believe, not just parents, but I do think that for parents, it is particularly urgent because it's not just our lives that would benefit from that. It is everyone else who's coming after us. And that's something I think we need to take very, very seriously.
Well, you have, I know you have like very small kids. Your oldest is not 10 yet. I mean, he's
right.
Eight.
He's seven.
He's seven.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
still too old
like,
though.
Yeah. It seems like me and you have worked together for over 12 years now. And so it feels weird because I remember you getting married because I was there. I was like, you know,
there
for the wedding, and then you found out you were having a kid, and it feels like this was just yesterday.
Right.
But I remember talking at one point, you talking about when you first see that look of rebellion in your child's eyes. I still remember that conversation. Uh-huh. It's like seeing that look of rebellion. It's like, because little kids, they're just being kids.
Yeah.
Like little bitty babies.
Yeah.
Babies are just babies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a whole lot of thought process going on there when they're newborn.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the point where you can see it when they are, and they're still small, where you tell them, no, don't touch that. And they look at you and they start reaching for it again.
It's like, what's going to happen?
And that look of rebellion, it starts early, and you have to start making those decisions as a parent to, how you're going to guide them. And not traumatize them.
No, that's true. And it's like, look, and I know this from experience. When I see my children expressing frustration and anger and just when things aren't going their way and they do the thing, whatever this characteristic thing that they do, it's immediately, I know this is exactly what they see me doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they learned that thing from me. Like that didn't just come out of them naturally. That was taught behavior. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, oh gosh, well.
Makes you reflect on yourself a little bit,
exactly,
doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. So it's not just those little instances of rebellion that we see come out. It's just every little thing that they do that would be problematic behavior in anybody older. That's exactly what they're learning from us as parents. And that, I mean, look, we're not going to be perfect, but we can we can try to exhibit behavior that is honoring to the Lord. And in those times of failure, hopefully, and by God's grace, we'll have the mindset that goes to asking for forgiveness from our kids.
Yeah.
And I think that honestly, that's a very powerful thing to do. If you make a mistake, if you lash out at them in a way you shouldn't have, getting on their level, asking for forgiveness, that's very powerful.
Spend time in the scripture.
Yes.
Spend time praying and spend time building that community of other believers who will hold you accountable.
Absolutely.
And those are just three things that I think are very important to help you along your parenting journey.
Yeah.
And if you are the child now having to take care of the parent, again, same rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, if you want to read that article, it is up on AFA.net /The Stand, along with a lot of other great authors from great writers as well. And well, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. Stay tuned for next week for another. And until then, share truth and apply scripture.